During this season of Lent, we are reflecting on how we can connect with God, and specifically today, how we love one another as we discern the voice of God within us telling us to do so. And this really is what it's all about, right? This is the core of everything, because as Christ followers, it's good to be reminded every once in a while that we are not following a religion. We are following a person. We are following God. We are following Jesus. And so we're called into this relationship, not religion. And God is drawing us to connect with Him by giving us a longing for more than just religion or outward responses or any kind of activity. It really is about what's going on inside in our hearts. And so God puts within us a longing for more. And so once we have this longing, it will cause us to put ourselves in a position to listen. God invites us to listen because God wants to say to us that this is a place where we are going to be responding to what He says. This is a place where we are going to learn, as we heard in the opening worship, that this is a place to learn the language of love. So how we live every moment, every day in connection with God and others is the crux of the matter. And so we all know that at the center of all this, at the center of longing and listening and learning and living, at the core of it all is this question: how well do I love others? Jesus brought it down to that simple, simple question: loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving others. And that, He said, is everything. That's the whole Bible. If you can't read it all, get that. That's all He's saying. So how do we do that? Jesus reminds us that the only thing that will set apart His people, His church, from the rest of the world is how we love, how we love, how we love. So we ask the question, well, what does love look like? Because love is kind of a vague word, right? Because in our culture, we just fall in and out of it. Right? We just fall in and out of it. We don't know what it looks like because we need help. Right? Who needs help with this love thing? Okay. Got some honest people among us here this morning. That's good. Jesus gives Paul the task of sharing with us in his writings, kind of to flesh it out for us. What does it look like? So we can see how different God's ideas are from our culture and maybe some of our ideas. We're called to a higher form of love. We are to love like God, and that is a real learning curve, as we say. So we're mostly familiar with 1 Corinthians 13 as the love chapter, right? Love is patient, love is kind, love is... But we have another love chapter. And this is in Paul's writings to the Christ followers in Rome. And that's going to be our scripture today, because it appears that they're having the same problem as we are. Have you felt the strong longing? Do you make space to listen and to learn and let that spill over into how you live? You see, living into our connection with God and loving one another is not easy, and it can be messy. But if we stay with it, we'll get the opportunity to see God's writing on people's lives and maybe even our own.
So the reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. I'm going to read it from the Voice. Love others well and don't hide behind a mask. Love authentically. Despise evil. Pursue what is good as if your life depends on it. Live in true devotion to one another, loving each other as sisters and brothers. Be first to honor others by putting them first. Do not slacken your faithfulness in hard work. Let your spirit be on fire, bubbling up and boiling over as you serve the Lord. Do not forget to rejoice, for hope is always just around the corner. Hold up through the hard times that are coming and devote yourselves to prayer. Share what you have with the saints so that they lack nothing. Take every opportunity to open your life and home to others. People mistreat or malign you, bless them. Always speak blessings, not curses. If some have cause to celebrate, join them in their celebration. And if others are weeping, join them in that as well. Work toward unity and live in harmony with one another. Avoid thinking that you're better than others or wiser than the rest. Instead, embrace common people and ordinary tasks. Do not retaliate with evil, regardless of the evil brought against you. Try to do what is good and right and honorable as agreed upon by all people. If it is within your power, make peace with all people. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, would you show us the way? Teach us your ways, show us your path, guide us in your truth, and pour your love into our hearts that we may know how to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, I kind of got it in my heart that I had to learn to play golf. I had this hunger to be out on the greens, leaving my cell phone behind, and just me and those golf clubs, and the breath of fresh air. And did I say no phone ringing? Well, I had a lot of friends that played golf, and so I thought, I'm going to go ask my friends, and they can take me and show me how to play the game. Now, I did go out and I got one lesson, and he said that I was very good. He said that I was very good, but that I needed another few lessons, but that I was very good, right? And I thought, I'm good. I've got friends who play golf. They'll take me out on the course, and I'll have a lot of fun. It was great. So I started asking my friends, hey, you know, can I go golfing with you? And they would always kind of look at me for a second. They'd be like, oh, that's so great. You're learning, you know. Let me look at my schedule and I'll get back to you. And I was like, okay, that's great. I'd ask another friend. I'd be like, you guys going out golfing this week? Because I'd really like to go golfing. I'm just taking it up and I'm all ready to go. And they said, oh, that's really great. You know, let me look at my schedule and I'll get back to you. What I figured out after none of my friends would take me out golfing with them was that I was high maintenance. Right? It's too much to take someone who's just learning golf on the, I mean, look at all the problems that could happen if you take just a beginner out on the greens, right? You're going to back up the whole greens, right? It's a little embarrassing because, well, they can't really play all that great. And so they just rather not. And then one friend was really honest. Go get some more lessons, right? So there was a disappointment there. Then there was just this kind of lack of love. Like, where's the love, people? Well, I found the love. Anybody heard of Topgolf? Topgolf, if you haven't heard about it, it's like a glorified driving range, right? I'm feeling the love at Topgolf. It's my new favorite place to be. If you don't see me here, I'll be there. Because I think we can learn a lot from Topgolf about loving one another. I mean, such encouragement when I leave that place, right? Because there's just like this low level of competition. Yeah, you got other people and you're there's scoreboard and everything, but everybody's kind of like, hey, that was a great swing. So there's this low level of competition. It's not like other relationships, right? And then there's these, like, not little small holes, but there's like these giant places that have the holes, but has nets. So there's a lot of grace. A lot of grace, like most relationships would be. There's just a lot of grace to get it in there, right? And that's the way real relationships would be. And then there's this encouragement thing that comes up on the screen. Like you hit one and it's not really very good. But what comes up on the scoreboard is, great job, Tammy. And I'm like, thank you. And then one day I hit it clear out and it was like way over, like even away from any of the nets, right? And it was like, you know, you're going to do better next time, Tammy. I was like, I love this place. I just love this place. And I'm like, see, I didn't need all you friends to play golf. I got my friend right here. Nothing but encouragement. And then there's the hospitality, right? Because you got a table, you got people, they're bringing you drinks all the time and food and these little donuts that you can put like chocolate in. It's amazing, amazing place. I can't say, I think that every relationship, I feel loved when I'm there. I'm just going to say. Oh, if all our relationships could be like Topgolf. You see the difference? I'm just saying. Seriously, our relationship with God and loving others is not easy. It's not easy to navigate. It's not easy to hear God's voice within us because there's so many other voices in our head, right? See, but I think the better question is, how do we recognize His voice? If we have problems or difficulties in understanding how this connection works with God and how that affects how we love one another, who is there to help me? It's like yesterday I had to call our credit card company because I saw a charge that I forgot what it was. I didn't know what it was. So I called, and after following all the prompts, and I mean all the prompts, oh my Lord, finally get, and the recording says, oh, the recording said, just a moment while I connect you to a relationship manager. And I was like, bingo. Don't we all need a relationship manager? I mean, that was such a marketing, like, brilliant, whoever came up with that. Let me put you through to our relationship manager. So when I had a problem, there it was. There was this relationship manager. And I think that, how many times have you been in situations in life, whether it's a struggle to know God or our inability to love in a healthy way? We need the Word to guide us. We need God to help us with this. And I've come to the conclusion that God's always trying to encourage us in this, because when I look at the stories in the Bible, I see this pattern. I see this pattern where He draws people by His Spirit and He gives us this longing for Him, because He knows that we can't love one another without being deeply connected to Him. And then He gives us kind of this this desire to listen. He invites us to listen to Him. And then He invites us to learn from Him, so then our lives can look different. He's like my Topgolf friend, right? It all begins with this longing. However challenging it might be, I know that from my own desires and from being a pretty faithful people watcher, that we're all longing for this connection. This, we might resist it. We might be afraid of it. We do things to avoid it. But since we are created for connection, we can't get away from it. And so we're all looking for this sense of genuine connection with one another that's full of goodness and kindness and harmony and peace and genuine commitment. I went on a hike yesterday at Catalina, and there was a big event going on out there, so there's lots of people on the trail. And as people are coming towards me, I thought, you know, I'm going to say hello to every person today. It annoys some people, but what I found is I'm going to see what people do when I just say hello as I'm going along. Tons of people just coming my way, and so there would be people that, you know, would look, and I'd start smiling from way back, and they'd see me coming, and people would respond. Sometimes they'd just start smiling, and we'd just be smiling at each other. I'd say, hey, good morning, how you doing? And I'd be like, yeah, good morning. There's connection, right? And then there was others who were like, don't look at me. I don't want to talk to you. I'm don't talk to me, right? And so I'm, hi, right? And then there's others that they're already in a group and they're talking to one another and they don't need any more love. They got their connection thing all figured out. And I'm, hey, how you doing? Well, there's other people that just looked at me like I was kind of strange, like, you're actually saying hello? Like, it's strange that that's so strange, right? Because we live in a world now where we're even suspicious of people saying hello to us. I could tell that most people were totally open to an attempt to be genuine and loving, even if I was a stranger. But it just, for me, it felt so freeing. It felt like I was just like this conduit. It didn't matter. I could just, it doesn't matter what they think. Hello, it's a great day. Good morning. I just spent the night with a person on their deathbed. You should be glad to be alive this morning. So let's enjoy this day that we can breathe and enjoy the sunshine, right? This longing to be noticed and knitted together is in the fabric of being human. And we see that God is always drawing us to be thirsty for Him first, because it is this deepening connection with Him that is going to allow us to love each other really well. So Paul tells us, here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take every day, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted in your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. That's how he begins Romans. Paul says this is what offering your life is going to look like. It's a love that is sincere and genuine. And it's going to look like this. And he sets this up. He says, this is what it's going to look like. I know that some of you have not experienced this, so let me just flesh it out for you. It's everything good. It's devoted. It's life-giving. It's joyful. It's patient. It's faithful in prayer. It shares and practices hospitality. It's concerned for the needs of others. It's not arrogant. It's so humble. It doesn't take revenge. And it's real. It doesn't gossip under the guise of, let's pray. No. We watch each other's backs. And that is genuine and sincere love. And so he invites us to long for him, so that through that he may pour his love into our hearts. Because we cannot do this without him. With all of our human will, I don't care what a great love person you are, I'm going to do something that's going to get under your skin, and you're going to need God to help you love me. Right? And it goes the other way too. I'm just saying. Right? You know, when the Lord says, love one another and love your neighbor, you see how people are so suspicious of even a hello. Look how so disconnected we are in our culture from our neighbors who are we are told to love. And sometimes it's, I mean, sometimes we make that so complicated. Well, who is my neighbor? Well, we could sit around and talk about that all day, but sometimes your neighbor is actually your neighbor, right? I was at a conference recently, and this guy wrote a book called The Art of Neighboring. Really good. And he says, name the five neighbors that are directly around you in your neighborhood. And I was like, But I put together some really good programs at church. Five people. I can name two or three. And that took a moment. One of my favorite HGTV shows is House Hunters. Isn't it? Amen. We hear an amen. See, it's a reality show that shows people they're searching for their, like, dream home, right? And so the focus is on the interior, exterior of that house. How many square feet? Does a master bath? Is it big enough? It's never big enough. And what about the flooring? No one has ever asked the question, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor going to be? We're so focused on the brick and mortar that we forget about the very relationships that are the only thing that really is of value. So if I'm listening to God and He's saying, love my neighbor, don't complicate it. Jesus has learned from me. Because a pastor at the same conference shared the story of how he was this pastor at this big church, and he was in charge of outreach and mission, and he put on this big concert, planned weeks and weeks, invested so much money. He was expecting 2,000 people, and 200 people showed up. And he's kind of dragging his feet. He went home, and he got to his apartment complex, and he looked over kind of around where his apartment was, and there's people all over the place. And he thought, oh, I wonder what's going on here. And the closer he got to his front door, he realized everybody was at his house. And he walked in the front door, and there's this guy sitting on his couch playing his guitar, and he comes up and he says, that's my guitar. And he says, oh, you must be Jason. He's like, yeah. He goes, I'm your neighbor. Your wife invited us because she was out cooking the barbecue in the front yard. And so what his wife was doing as she was cooking barbecue, she just started inviting the neighbors that were coming home from work and saying, hey, bring a dish to share and we'll all just sit here and eat together. The inside of the house, the outside, it was overflowing. Here was all these neighbors. And he says, I was the pastor of outreach and mission. And yet, my wife had done the outreach and mission, right? He'd forgot about his neighbors. Later on, what would happen is he'd become very connected with a certain neighbor where he and his wife were burdened in prayer for this family across the street. They didn't know why. They went over one day. She was in the driveway, and she said, I've just been diagnosed with cancer. So he and his wife got around her, prayed she'd be healed. And the next visit to the hospital said that they could not find the cancer. She started coming to church, and she put her faith in Christ, and she was baptized. And they had four children. Two children came along with her, said they wanted to be baptized and part of the church. The middle son came a couple years later and put his faith in Christ and got baptized. And then there was the husband and the oldest son holding out. The son, after about the fifth year, the oldest son came and said, I want what you have. But it was about relationship. They were eating with them. They were living beside them. They were concerned for them, praying for them, having life together. Like this, spokes. And then, as the older son said, I want to be baptized, the husband shows up for the baptism, and the Holy Spirit comes upon his heart and says, it's time. Do you see the investment of family life, of community, of loving that family? The investment of time. Do we invest in our neighbors? Do we love them in that way? We need to learn to love our neighbor, to love one another as Jesus shows us how to love. If you think about it, loving one another comes naturally if our connection with God is strong. If we're going to the hub, it'll be natural for me to love you. I might not always do it real well, but I'm going to try my best, right? And so I think that we have to see that it actually takes more energy not to love. My husband used to work with heart surgeons. And you know, all these important arteries that go to the heart, if any of them are blocked, the heart has to work harder. And then that affects the whole body, because then that affects every other organ and the whole body is not working well. Sometimes I think that we have blocked arteries. We have something blocking us from loving. We almost think I'll give you this much, but now come on. I can't. What's blocking your love? Is there anything blocking your ability to just go along a trail out of Catalina and say hi to everybody? What's blocking that? What do you have to fear? You think we're going to get to heaven and Jesus saying, now, you know, you loved way too much. Now you really needed to stop that loving thing because you just loved way too much. No, he's going to say, oh, well done, good and faithful servant. You were given a little. You did a lot with a little. You loved much. Let's do that. Let's long for God. Let's go to the hub. Let's learn and listen, and let's live it. I like to say, let's live the love, right? Love. No exception. I'll end by honoring my mentor, Billy Graham, who went home to be with Jesus this week. He wrote that when we love God with all our hearts, then we have the capacity to love our neighbor. The greatest need in the world today is not more science, not more social engineering, not more teaching, not more knowledge, not more power, not even more preaching. The greatest need we have today is for love. And the only way that love can be supplied is by a supernatural act of the Holy Spirit that transforms lives. The love that God gives us is not the ordinary love that we find in the world today. When we love our neighbors, it is not our loving with natural love. It is God loving through us. If you're willing to do this, God will give you his love. Thank you, Billy Graham. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.